As you know, today is Pentecost Sunday, and last week I was sharing on how fine china, God has made us in his image, according to what it says in Genesis. But somewhere along the line, obviously with Adam and the fall and everything else, that image got distorted. And I used the illustration of how china is made, and that when china is made, there's a master mold. And that master mold, there's this whole process, and I went through the process from the clay making, how there's different several types of ingredients, how the mold making, and then there's the firing the bone china. And that takes like 9 hours to do at a very high temperature. Then you have the glazing, which again is done at like 8.5 hours. And, you know, and then there's the decorating, which again has to go through a heating process. So all in all, you're talking like nearly about 20 hours in the oven. And I mean, God shapes a person's life. When God changes a person's life as a new creation, okay, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. For those of you who may or may not know that, if you name the name of Christ, the fact is that he is the potter and you are the clay. And so as he shapes and molds your life, you're going to go through the heating process. And these are the things I spoke about last week. And, you know, Peter even says in his letter that consider it not a strange thing, the testing of your faith, as though you're being tested by fire. And that's when you go through the fiery times. It's in those fiery times God proves himself, that you are the workmanship of his hands. That's what Ephesians 2:10 says. You are his workmanship. And today, as you know, it's Pentecost Sunday, and, you know, one of the hardest things is that, okay, you want to keep the Pentecost message, you want to be able to do the traditional thing, and I was just thinking, I'm not a guy who is kind of the traditional type of guy, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I got to sit down, and I really got to look at this, and so kind of like my title for today is the... I mean, you see Pentecost Sunday there, the outpouring of the Spirit, but my title is Powerful Proponent. Powerful Proponent. And the fact is that the Holy Spirit, when God pours out his Spirit upon your life, that you will receive power from on high, you will be induced, you will be clothed with power from on high, makes you a powerful proponent and an exponent. And I'm going to get into that later. And that, you know, it's just a wonderful and powerful thing. And so the purpose of Pentecost is to be a reflective witness of Jesus Christ, his message in the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to read to you a very familiar passage, and it's in Acts 1:8. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of heaven? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive what? Power. For when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And the fact is that when you become a witness, somebody who is a witness has evidence to the fact that something has happened. Now, I've shared this before, that a witness stands in court and has to give evidence of a fact of something that has happened, that they literally seen, they're an eyewitness. And the witness that we are to be an eyewitness of here is to be the recipient of what is known as the Holy Spirit. Many people call it an it or a thing. He's not. He's the third person of the Trinity. He is of the Godhead. He is one of the same. And so the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon you, you will receive power and you will be his witnesses. Witnesses in what you say and in witnesses in what you do. Now, we read later on in Acts chapter 2, we see that when the day of Pentecost arrived, when that day arrived, there is a day that Pentecost, and it had arrived, it was a fulfillment of what happened. This is what the prophet Joel said back in Joel chapter 2. And, you know, Peter expounds upon that. For example, many people think that that was a one-off thing. I want to give you a recent update from my own home country in Wales, that there is an outpouring happening in a place called Cwmbran. Now, Cwmbran has one vowel in it, A. It's spelled C-W-M-B-A-B-R-A-N, Cwmbran. And the church there is in a warehouse that they've rented for 2 years, but recently God has been pouring out his spirit in a way that there's been a conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Not like of the emotional content or the emotionalism that sometimes we get or we hear about. And there's been over 9,000 visitors in this small church. And it's grown to about 500 now. But last weekend, they baptized 64 people. And it's unheard of in Wales with what God is doing. God still pours out his spirit upon people who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God still does amazing things. And so when they were all gathered together, and the day of Pentecost had come, there suddenly came a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and tongues of fire was divided and appeared upon them, and it landed upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues. And that, you know, the word there, glossolalia, it means languages. They were filled with different languages. They were able to speak in different things. And as a sign, the people around them were like, hang on, these are ignorant people. They're Galileans. Hang on, they're uneducated. They have no idea what. We hear them speaking in our own languages. And so we see that they're like over, I think it was like 13 languages, 11 maybe different languages, that they were talking about the mighty works of God in their own tongues. And so when all of this happens, you know, Pentecost and everything else, we read it, we see it, and we're like, oh, wow, this is really interesting. It's a historical thing. It's happening, and it's happening now. But the question is what is Pentecost? What is Pentecost? And so in order to know what Pentecost is today, you got to look back to where it was back then. And so for me, Pentecost, when you look at it, comes from the Jewish harvest festival of Shavuot, which is better known as the Festival of Weeks, or the Festival of Reaping, or the Day of First Fruits. And in Exodus 34:22, it says, the Feast of Ingathering at the Year's End. And for me, it's the Feast of Harvest in Exodus 23:16. So when you read this, Pentecost in and of itself is it's basically about harvest. It's harvest. It's not about, many people when they talk about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when they receive the power from on high and all of these different things, and they think it's just for the experience, it's more than that. It's for fulfillment, not enjoyment. And the fact is, as a witness, you are a worker in the Lord's what? Harvest field. He said, I am the Lord of the harvest. Ask of me for workers, and I will send you workers. So essentially, the Pentecost is about harvest. And it's about God who uses and raises up people who are meant to be harvesters, ingatherers. Okay? Because that's why you've been given the Holy Spirit. Now, being that I can be a bit nerdy and geeky, but did you know that Alexander Dumas, how many of you know who Alexander Dumas is? Okay, he's the guy that wrote The Three Musketeers, okay? And Count of Monte Cristo. And shows you how much nerdy I am. He mentions, actually, Pentecost in his book, 20 Years After, 20 ans après. It's the sequel to The Three Musketeers. And basically, a meal is being planned for the holiday to which La Rémy, the second in command of the prison, is invited, and by which the Duke, through this invitation, is able to escape. And the Duke speaks sarcastically to his jailer, foreshadowing his escape, saying, Now, what has Pentecost got to do with me? Do you fear, say, the Holy Ghost may come down in the form of fiery tongues and open the gates of my prison? Well, I'd like to be honest with you, is that when the Holy Spirit does come down upon you with fiery tongues, he does set you free from your prison. I think of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego when they were put into the fiery furnace and they were walking through. The only thing that was different by the time they came out of that fiery furnace was the fact that they had that what was bound was no longer there. And their hair on their head was singed or anything else. The promise of Pentecost. And behold, in Luke, 24:29, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Dr. R.A. Torrey, who actually was the first man to ever write the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, says the infilling of the Holy Spirit is a definite and distinct experience. A Christian will know whether or not they have received the Holy Spirit or not. The promise of the Father is that you will be clothed with power from on high. Not so that you can just, you know, Jesus says that you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And the fact is that the light of the world is that we have this treasure, the surpassing power of God within us, according to, you know, to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, which I read last week, is that that surpassing power that dwells within us is meant to be reflected through us. We are his vessel. What is the purpose of Pentecost? Well, one word portrays the purpose. Pentecost is harvest, as I've already said. Harvest is at the center of Pentecost. It is the main thrust of why God has poured out his Spirit. The reason why he has poured out his Spirit is that we can do what he has called us to do. What has he called us to do? The Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go preach the gospel. Go and, you know, and proclaim the forgiveness of sins. The fact that he has given this power and the ability to do what we in and of ourselves and our own human nature, our own sinful fallen nature cannot do. You know, we can forgive on the terms of conditions, but when it's forgiveness on the terms of unconditional love and walking away from that, that takes something else. It takes somebody else. When we think about the purpose of Pentecost is the fact that we are given this power in order to ingather, to bring in that which is lost, to be that light in the darkness, to be able to be that hand that reaches down in order to pull somebody else up. It is to be what God wants us to be. In Joel 2:23-25, it says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and for he will cause rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten away." Two things are necessary for harvest. Obviously, if you've ever done farming, and I've been involved in farming, in arable farming, the two main proponents of a harvest, first and foremost, is the early rain, the former rain. And it prepares the soil for planting at seed time. And then the latter rain, which matured the crop for harvest time, being able to gather in the harvest. And bringing people again, when God poured out his Spirit, it's to bring people into a place of fulfillment, not enjoyment. Many people today, for example, that I've come across, you know, they see the Holy Spirit as a form, as a thing, or as an it, not as the person of the Godhead. And for me, that they kind of lose who he really is. And the fact is that he will help you to fulfill what you cannot fulfill. He is about fulfillment and not just about enjoyment. He transforms your life. He builds in your life. He reshapes, he takes and recreates in your life what you cannot do. He renews your mind and so on. I've previously mentioned it, but when Jesus saw the crowds in Matthew 9:36-38, he said, when Jesus, he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. You see, when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is a compelling force within you to love your neighbor. There is a compelling force within you to do what you cannot do. It's being able to go to the other side. It's being able to be that hand of friendship when nobody else wants to be a friend. It's being able to be involved in the homeless ministry. Being able to love your neighbor. Being able to help those who cannot help themselves because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciple, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly. Pray with intensity. Pray with compelling force to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Starts with harvest. In the middle, it's harvest. And it ends with harvest. He is the Lord of the harvest. But here's the thing. The laborers are few. And he says, pray for laborers to go to send out into his harvest. And that's the purpose of Pentecost. When you think about it, when you have that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, the fact is that when he poured out his spirit, 120 people were touched. We don't know what happened to all of those 120 people, but we do know what happened to some of the key proponents of those people. We do know what happened. We do know that the fact that the Holy Spirit sent men like Paul all throughout what is known as Europe, Asia Minor. We know that the Holy Spirit compelled people like Matthew to go all the way to India. We read and we hear about people, you know, that the Holy Spirit just moves upon people to go beyond the boundaries, to be the proponent of Pentecost. And a proponent is someone who's an exponent, meaning somebody who has an enthusiastic belief in something and they will not move from that. And a proponent is an advocate. It's an ally. Also, a proponent is a champion. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. You are more than what? Conquerors. You are more than conquerors. You are his workmanship. You are overcomers. This is what the Word of God says that you are. And when the Holy Spirit acts upon what is in you, then you realize that greater he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I mentioned last week that the fact is that the Creator in the new creation, the Creator in the new creation, and the fact, when I think of that, when I think of God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the Creator of all things, dwelling within me. John 14, verse 20 says, in that day, what day? That day. You will know that I am in my Father, I in you, and you in me. Colossians 2:10 says, in him dwells the Godhead in bodily form that dwells also within you. Dwells within you. Don't play down how big God is in your life. One of the saddest things I've come across in being a proponent of Pentecost, being someone who, you know, I myself, when I came out of a background of drugs and gangs and everything else like that, when I came into contact with the Holy Spirit, well, he came into contact with me too, but my life was radically changed. Radically changed. And we can all know about Jesus and everything else, but there's this mystical experience that some people try, you know, they think it's aloof, but it's not. The Holy Spirit dwells with us and desires to be in us that we can be filled with the glory of God. But I've come across people that there are those who become like Samson in the Bible. They knew what it was once like to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, they still have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. It's a sad state of affairs for me to actually say that. But when we see that people have come to that place where they're like Samson, and we all know what happened to Samson, right? He laid his head in Delilah's lap, and she cut off his hair because it was part to do with his covenant. He lost his power with God and can do nothing but live a defeated life. He was blind, he was bound, and he was grinding in circles at the mill of his enemies. But that doesn't happen. That doesn't just finish there. But there came a point where he remembered the covenant. Do you remember? He felt the hair on his head, and he remembered the covenant. For those of you who may be in a place where you may have become like Samson and you're just not walking in the power of the Most High God, the fact is you need to remember the covenant. You need to remember what he has given you. Remember the new covenant that is done in his blood. Not just the forgiveness of sins, of sins, but the fact is that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He has given us power from on high that we can call upon him. We don't need to go through anybody else, but we can go straight to him. He has opened the way so we can get to him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Remember the covenant. Remember what he has done for you. And when I was thinking about this message, I was thinking of the fact that Pentecost reveals to the world, okay? Pentecost reveals to the world that we are, number one, worshippers of the living God. Now, many of us think that worship is just to do with singing and everything else. No, it's not. It's how you live. It's how you serve the world around you. Worship means service. It's how you serve. It's what you do. It reveals to the world around us that we are a warning light. We are a warning sign. We are meant to be a people that are compelled by love to reach out to a fallen and broken humanity. And the fact is that we are witnesses of Jesus Christ. And as witnesses, we are meant to be workers. Yes? Yes, good. Thanks. And the fact is that the power of the Holy Spirit gives you a boldness where you have no boldness, because when you are weak, he becomes strong in you. He gives you confidence where you lack self-confidence, because your confidence is not found in the self, but in himself. And he gives you the courage where you have no courage, where you feel shy and inept. He's given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind to be a witness for Christ so you can share your faith with others. Some people share it with words. Some people share it with deeds. Some people share it one with another. The Pentecostal proponent is you being able to have that compelling force to go out and make the difference. It's that compelling force to go out and love when nobody else will love that person. Let's take a moment to pray, shall we?